coming out, God showed me something totally different. Hard as it was, I'm thankful that I was able to see it, though. I had to see that kind of stuff. There's things that I just need to see. I'm not going to go into it. But, you know, he knew what I need to see, and he knew that I need to see it when I need to see it. And I thank him for it, good and hard times. Me and my wife really learned how to thank him in the hard times and just learn how to struggle through things and know that when we rely on him, he's the one who can get us through this. I hope this is my water. If not, I'm drinking it. My throat's kind of dry. I preached the messages over in Sio today, and I thought it went pretty well. You know, the Lord, you know, as long as I'm out of the way, the Lord can step in, and he can get in there, and he can do something with somebody, you know? And you preach that King James Bible, man. I mean, I'm just telling you, things change when you get a hold of this King James Bible. Things happen in your life. And I'm here to attest that things happened in my life since I got a hold of Jesus, since I got saved and really just got in his word. Things have really changed in my life. And I thank him for what he's brought in my life. I thank him for the things he's taken out of my life. I am really thankful for the things he's taken out of my life. They weren't any good for me. They were a danger to me and society and everything else. And therefore, I'm just thankful. Thankful to have family here, some new friends here. And, you know, we pull up and he goes, gosh, I miss our church family. You know, we just miss being here. But you know what? Lord had me doing something else, and that's all right. It went well this morning. That's what I have to say. So we're going to be in 2 Chronicles to start. And if you're not good at turning places, listen. If you're new to this, it's all right. We understand. We've all been there. Nobody's going to judge you here. 2 Chronicles 36. I got to get there myself, see? We're going to start in verse 12. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. 2 Chronicles 36, 12. And he did what that was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who made him swear by God, but he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart, and turning unto the Lord God of Israel. Moreover, all the chief priests and all the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord, and that which was hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on the dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against the people till there was no remedy. Therefore he brought unto the king of the Chaldeans, who slew their young men with the sword of the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon the young man or the maiden or the old man, or have stooped for age. For he gave them all into his hand, and all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and treasures of the house of God, and of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and his princes, and all he brought to Babylon. And they burnt the house of God, and break down the wall of Jerusalem, and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire, and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. And then them that escaped from the sword carried away, they were carried away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept the Sabbaths to fulfill the 70 years. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, the king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also into writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kings of the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me, and he hath charged me to build him an house in Jerusalem, which is in Judea. Who is there among you of all his people? The Lord his God be with him, and let him go up. So I titled my message, being brought to a place that you'll turn to God so he can accomplish what he wants. We just read here in this story, we see that Israel is going through a mess. And they're going through a mess. Why? Let me not jump ahead of myself. It says the Lord, as we see here, brought Israel into a very low point of their life. The people here followed after the king, who we read in 2 Chronicles, verse 12, 36, 12. He said, and they did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. Verse 13, he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who made him swear by God, and he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord, the God of Israel. And so the people did as well. You see, when we get our eyes fixed upon the people, when we get our eyes fixed upon the people of this world, and they're out there mocking God, and they're stiffening their heart and hardening their heart against God, guess what happens to us? We start following that. You see, these people got a king. They had a king set up to rule them, and then the king stiffened his neck and hardened his heart towards God and towards the things of God, and the people followed. That's what we have in Christianity today. We have a lot of people looking to the man, but not the real King of Kings, not the real Lord of Lords. We have people that are looking to men for salvation, and looking to men and works to get themselves right with God. And I'm just telling you right now, there's only one way that you can get right with God, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's through Calvary. It's not through what a man does, what a man says. It's by everything that Jesus Christ does, what he sets in order, and what he sets in place. But I don't want to get ahead of myself. Verse 36:14 says, moreover, all the chief priests and the people transgressed very much after the abomination of the heathen, and polluted the house of God which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. Verse 15, and the Lord God of their fathers sent them by messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because they had compassion on the people and his dwelling place. You see, they followed after a human king and turned their backs on the one true King of Kings. The Bible says in 36 verse 16, it says the wrath of the Lord was against his people till there was no remedy. I'm just telling you now, if you're out there and you're following man and you're following what man says, I'm just telling you now, God's going to bring you to a place where you'll see him. He's going to bring things so low in your life that you won't have anywhere else to look but up and up to him. And he's going to start bringing people to that point in their life. And I've got a few points in here where I'm going to show you the Bible. I'm going to show you some doctrine of how God brings people low so they'll listen to him. So how God will bring people to a point where they're so low in their life, they have nothing else to look up to but Jesus. And I didn't say, this morning I preached over there in Sile, and the first thing I preached on is, if you start believing, if you believe the Bible, then these things will happen in your life. These things will happen in your life. If God didn't put this Bible just to look at it. He put it because you know what's going to happen? When you start getting that Bible, it says that they know that your word is truth. And you know, it says that your word gives faith. It says that his word, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to the word of God. Psalm 119:9. Now, I'm just telling you now, there's changing. This word, this Bible, I'm just telling you, it changes hearts, it changes minds, it changes direction in life. If you can't get a hold of that, you got a problem. I said this morning at over a sign. I'm going to say it again. I have a sermon. You don't have to go to my website if you don't want, but if you do, go on there. It's called Miss the Mark. Miss the mark. Many people have missed the mark. They missed salvation. They got their salvation thought up in their head. They think they're saved. I'm just telling you now, if your salvation doesn't line up with this Bible, line up with the hunger of the Word of God, hey, you missed the mark, man. You just missed it. Time to get that right. Time to get it right in your life. But I'm just going to say here that it says the wrath of the Lord rose against his people till there was no remedy. I'm just telling you, God will bring you. He has brought me and my wife to places where, you know what, there was no remedy. The only remedy we had was to go ahead and give ourselves over to him fully. I mean fully, not half-hearted. I preached my second thing I preached on. It's funny how this thing happened. The second thing I preached on this morning was seeking God diligently. Seeking God diligently with your whole heart and your whole soul. I'm just telling you, you know what it says? You're not coming to God half-hearted. He's not going to accept that. He doesn't want anything half-hearted. You either go to him all the way or none at all. That's all there is to it. He's not accepting it. You got to go to God the way he wants you to go, not the way man wants to go. See, everybody, one of the things that I learned this week being down in Philly is everybody wants everybody to do things man's way. What about getting back to the way God wants things done?
Amen.
What about the way he wants it done? You see, we got this whole conception that we should just follow man. I'm just telling you now, we should follow the Bible. We should follow God's word. It says that, I might misquote this, forgive me if I do, but it says that no longer do we hear anything by prophets, but by Jesus. So what is Jesus? Well, Jesus is the word. Well, if he's the word, then why aren't we listening to it? Why aren't we doing what that word says? He didn't just give it to us to be a bookmark. He didn't give it to us to put on a shelf and collect dust. He gave it to us to live by it, because it'll change your life. It'll give you what you're supposed to have. It'll give you things that are new. It'll give you things the way he wants. He wants. Do we understand that? Anybody got that in their head? It's not about what we want. We got to start dying to self and start living for Jesus Christ. That's what he's called us to. So anyway, and he's going to bring you to a place where there's no remedy. There was nothing left that God could do to get the people to listen. So he turned to his wrath to bring the people to a place in their lives that all they had left was to listen to God and what he said. That's all. So I'm going to read verse 17 through 21 real quick. Therefore, he brought upon the king of the Chaldeans who slew the young men with the sword of the house of their sanctuary and had compassion. Had no compassion on the young man or the maiden, the old man, or him that stooped in age, for he gave all to his hand, and all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king, and the princes, and all that he brought to Babylon. I'm just telling you right now, he doesn't have, he's not having compassion when he's bringing you to that place on you. Listen, he's going to carry you through it with your mercy, but you know what, if you're not turning yourself to him, the more he has compassion on you, the more you'll walk away from him. I believe sometimes God's just got to be tough with some people. I'm one of those that he's got to be tough with. And he, you know what? He loves me. He loves me so much that he would bring me to that place.
Amen.
He loved Israel so much that he would bring him to that place. To get them to finally listen to what he has to say. To get him there. There are times in our lives that God must do this to bring us to the end of ourselves and and leave us there. Why does God do this? Because we listen and hear and obey in God in these times. As we see Israel did in a time of desolation. That's what it says there, in a time of desolation. It is here in our desolation that the Lord can finally have our attention and get us to do what He sets out to accomplish. He sets out to accomplish. We have that stuck in our head that I heard a preacher say over the week last week. He said everybody walks around, all these preachers walk around thinking it's about them. And it's not about them.
That's right.
God forbid if we ever get the attitude, it's about us. God forbid if I ever get the attitude to come up here and preach because this is about me. It's not about me. It's about him, what he has, his will, not my own. Lord, John, I believe it was John said, Lord, I must decrease so you can increase. That's what I want. I want to decrease. Lord, you increase in my life.
Amen.
Make me a man closer to you. Draw me closer. That's a hard prayer. Go ahead and pray that and start to see what happens to your life. You're going to be brought low just like Israel was. Why? That's where we listen. Think about when times are good. We don't listen to God so much. But when times are bad, all of a sudden now we want to be holier than thou. We want to read our Bible. We want to pray. We want to be in church because things are all so bad. He says, well, I had to bring you there. He's been doing it since the beginning of time. Go ahead and read your Bible. If you can, if you can find time. Read your Bible. He says it through the whole thing. He says, he does this to people to get their attention. Imagine being in a land of desolation and God will leave you there. I know there's times that God has just left me there for weeks because I just wasn't seeing, I wasn't listening, I wasn't catching on to what he wanted. But then when I did, guess what? He started lifting me up. Now if you go ahead and read the very end here, he said, to fulfill the word of the Lord. To fulfill the word of the Lord. God has got to fulfill something in your life. And you go to verse 22, and it says, verse 23, then King Cyrus, King Persia, and all the kingdoms of the earth had the Lord God of heaven given me and had charged me to build him an house. And he says, where's all the people? How many more are you left? You're here now. You see, God had to move all that junk out of the way, and then they can come in and build a house from God. I'm just saying, you're not. If you have junk in your life, God has got to move that stuff out of your life so he can come in and build that house in you. So he can come out and build you the way you need to be built.
Amen.
He's not going to build you the way you are.
Right.
God forbid if he ever built me the way I was. I got family here that can attest to the way I used to be. And I'm just telling you now, God couldn't do nothing with that. He had to bring me to a place where I hear him and see him. He had to tear me down. It says here, it says that he had no compassion upon young man or maiden. Man or woman, he had no compassion. He says, it's time to do what I have to do. I have to turn to my wrath. These people aren't listening anymore. I have to turn to my wrath now. He had no compassion. None. Could you imagine? God without compassion. Imagine being under that. God is a compassionate God for those who listen and open their eyes. But could you imagine being the one who's under the Lord not having compassion today?
Come on.
Just telling you. I'm going to give you a few examples of people who were brought pretty low so where God could talk to them. Jonah. As Jonah, God tells us to do something that he wants to accomplish. What did Jonah do? Let's go to Jonah 1:10. Jonah 1:10. God tells us to go and do something that He wants accomplished. What did Jonah do? Jonah 1:10 says, Jonah 1:10, I'll give it a couple more seconds. Jonah 1:10 said, "Then there were men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them." And when we try to run from God and disobey, people know. Because they see your life falling apart and they're wondering, oh my goodness, what is going on with them? They must be doing a Jonah. They must be trying to run from God. I'm just telling you now. Let's go on and see what's going on. He says, he fled from the presence of the Lord because he told him, we try to do the same and disobey. And then as Jonah in verse 1:17 says, "And now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." 3 days and three nights. Could you imagine what it would have been like being inside the belly? Imagine how dark and nasty and disgusting and cold. Now God had altered himself. He has stripped him of absolutely everything. Even the outside. Any outside influence, he has absolutely taken that all from him. He's got him sitting in the fish by himself. How many of us, when God tells us to do something, we want to run?
Come on.
Guess what? You're heading for the fish.
Yeah.
You're heading for a place that's going to be dark, nasty, cold, lonely. The outside influence can't help you. And I'm just telling you, it's not a place you want to be. If God is putting something on your heart, I'm just telling you now, don't go to the fish. You can't avoid it. But you better open up and listen. Because he's going to bring you there. Let me go and read Jonah 2. Chapter 2. I lost my place. I'm still kind of slow at this myself, guys. See? Oh, I lost my place. I thought I had it.
Page 1158.
Yeah. Is that what it is? All right. Thank you, brother. Here we go. 1158. I knew I was right near it. A couple pages off. 1158. Here we go. Jonah chapter 2. Chapter 2. I got written down here. Verses 1 through 10. Says, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed about me, and all the billows and thy waves passed over me." Hey, I'm just telling you, doesn't that sound familiar where some of you are sitting today? Huh? You're in that place, and God is just trying to get you to see. He wants you to cry out like Jonah. He says, Then I said, verse 4, "I am cast out of thy sight. Yeah, I will look again toward the holy temple." He knew it wasn't going to last forever. Why? How did he know? Because he knew that he was crying on God and God was going to show him what he needed to see. God was going to bring him to that place where he knew he's going to come outside again and look towards that holy temple. Verse 5, "The waters compassed about me, even the soul. The death closed around me about, and the weeds were wrapped up in my head. And I went down to the bottoms of the mountains and the earth with her bars and were about me forever. Yet thou hast brought up my life from the corruption, O Lord my God." He has brought me up from out of the corruption, O Lord my God. He has pulled you out of that, and yet you find yourself in a place that you just cannot believe that you're trapped in. "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord." Ha! When your soul fainted within you, how many times have you been in that time of faint and you remember the Lord? I can tell you this right now from just watching in the few years that I've been to the ministry, that's the last thing we look after is the Lord. We go to the world and everything else before we turn to the Lord. When our soul has fainted, when we become worn and tired out, we try to run to everything and everybody else except for Jesus Christ. Jonah knew where to turn. He said, "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord in my prayer. I came into thee, into thy holy temple." He said, listen, "They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy." You forsake your own mercy. Forsake your own mercy. You forsake your own mercy. "But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah unto the dry land. Jonah was ready. He was ready now. He understood what he needed to do. He understood that God told him to do something. He had sent him out, jumped, refused, and tried to run, and got cast into that fish. But then he got along with God, and he understood, man, you're right, Lord. Salvation is of you, not me. It's not about what Jonah wanted. It's not about what Amy Morey wants, or Dale Morey wants, or Brother Hayne wants. It's about what God wants.
Amen.
It's His salvation. It's right. Him. He did it, not us. Don't let God bring you to that point where you're being that fish. You could avoid that. Then there are those who are religious, who think they're doing things for God. But in fact, they're being men pleasers and using the works to gain salvation from God. Saul, who became Paul, was one such. Philippians 3:4 says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews as touching the law, a Pharisee. Verse 6, concealing zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is the law, blameless. Verse 7, but what things were a gain to me, I counted that for lost. You see, Paul knew and understood that anything he gained in the flesh was worthless. Anything that he did for Jesus Christ was worth something. And he had the right to brag. You heard all that he said. Wait, listen. A Pharisee, in the flesh, he was everything that somebody desires. Except for God. God doesn't desire that from anybody.
That's right.
He desires you to follow his will and do what he has you to do. Not what you want to do. I'm telling you now, this is the religions of the world today. They're sitting here doing exactly what Paul did and thinking they're doing something good for God, and they're not. They're an enemy of God, just as well as you sit here in this church today. They're an enemy of God. It's not about our will. It's not about what we do. Hey, you think, as low as these people are being brought down, these people are getting tore up and everything else, you know what? They're sitting there thinking that they have real religion. They have truth. You know, I don't serve a religion. I serve a relationship. I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't have a religion. I'm glad I don't understand religion. I don't even want nothing to do with religion. You go ahead and take your religion and go somewhere else with it. I'll stay in my relationship with Jesus Christ and live my life just as well.
Amen.
I don't need religion. Everything that you see here, it may not be much in this world, but Jesus is the one changing this. I don't do religion. I don't come to church and then leave church here. I bring church home with me. I live it here. I live it wherever. It doesn't matter where I go. I live my Christianity no matter where I'm at. I don't have religion where I come into church and I try to look good. And then as soon as I walk out them doors, I leave everything behind. I don't do that.
Yeah.
That's religion.
Yeah.
I have somebody that I carry around in my heart with me. That communes with me.
Yeah.
That loves me. I have a relationship. Like I have a relationship with my wife.
Yeah.
I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and therefore when I walk out these doors, it is not a religion. But these religions sit here, and they do the same thing Paul does, and they really think they're gaining something. And they've gained nothing. Nothing, nothing. No longer was Paul. Yeah, so, excuse me. And then Jesus stepped in and brought Paul to a place where he would listen. Acts 9:1-8. Acts 9:1-8. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, that serving the Lord, whether they were men or women, they might bring them to bound into Jerusalem. And he journeyed, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told what thou must do. You see, God had to bring Saul to a place where he'd hear him. He had to bring him to the end of his religion. He had to bring him to the end of working in the flesh. He had to bring him, and he blinded his eyes so that he couldn't see. He had to take it so there was no outside influence. Again, we see. There was no outside influence, and God, he had to be just brought alone with God. I mean, could you imagine all of a sudden walking, and all of a sudden, bang, you fall to the ground, you hear God speak to you, you go blind, and he said, "Now, I need you to go out and do this for me." In religion, you would not do that. In religion, you can't hear Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, they don't even know who the real Jesus is. They're sort of twisting up. They don't know which way God is, up or down. Religion has got people so messed up and so twisted that they can't see it. But you know what? God was merciful. Jesus was merciful. And he came down to Paul, shut him up, laid him on the ground, shut his eyes up, and said, "No longer will you have religion. Now you'll have a relationship with me. I'm going to send you out." Jesus needs to do that to a bunch of people. Those walking around with religion, thinking that religion has anything before them, it has nothing. It will never avail anything. Coming to church does not make you a good person. Maybe I didn't say that right. Coming to church does not make you a good person.
That's right.
It will never change you.
That's right.
Week after week after week, you know what's going to change you? Allowing Jesus Christ to bring you to this place. Allow this word to show you what you need to see.
Come on.
Right. We all run from him. Just think about God. For a long time I fought what God was really trying to show me. You know what God had to do? He had to blind me to myself. Open this word. And so he can reveal to me what I am. And I understood, "Lord, what would thou have me to do?"
Come on.
Finally I understood, "Lord, what would thou have me to do?" I became his son. October 10th, 2011, 9.5 East Main Street. I became saved. I finally seen. The scales came from my eyes, and I understood for the first time in my life, oh my goodness. I had to see that. But for a long time, me and my wife walked on in religion. Some guy tell me, "Oh, you're saved. Don't worry about it, bro. You're all right, man." That "all right" almost sent me to hell. I'm sorry, but I can't get into easy believism and all that stuff. It tears me out. I mean, slap out the frame. And when I see people doing it, and you know what? They're using that. And they're destroying people's life with that. Destroying them. And it tears me up to see. This is where me and my wife were on the edge of hell. Thank God for a compassionate Jesus.
Amen.
Who could bring me and my wife to a place where we could take that King James Bible and see what we really were, and he could open our eyes, take the scales off our eyes, so we could finally see, "Ooh, man," and get saved. My wife got saved 6 months after me. I thank God for it.
Amen.
Thank God for it. Many people in churches today are brought under conviction by the Holy Ghost about being lost, but they dismiss it because of some religion they got one time. Many more in the church pews would get saved if they would just face the issue that God brings to them, a place that he tries to get them to see. Often man gets in the way of the work of the Holy Ghost, and the person that is told that they're okay, don't worry about that conviction. That is sending people to hell by the truckloads. As Paul had to be brought to a place so they would listen and turn from religion, allow Jesus to give them their true conversion. Man needs to step back and let the Holy Ghost do what he's best at. Jesus knows when that person is ready to get saved. We don't need man to go up there and get interfering in that. But so many step in. I can tell you story after story after story of what happened between with me and my wife and other churches that we used to go to, and the stuff they used to just tell me and my wife. And I mean, men of God have fallen into that snare. They have fallen into that trap. I'm not going to name names, but I'm just telling you now, man. If I wouldn't have witnessed stuff, and I'm not talking about just this past week, I'm talking over the last couple of years, I've seen great men of God falling into this stuff, and man, I'm just telling you, they don't understand it. Oh, 17 people got saved. There's two people in the church. Where are they all at? Oh, okay, maybe you got to go out and get them. Come back next year, there's one person left. Hey, you wouldn't believe, 15 people got saved and us out there street preaching. Where are they at? Where are they at? I'm just telling you. Listen, people don't understand. This Bible was going to tell you the truth. What's it going to tell you? That all things become new. You will come to church. You will like the Bible. You will do devotions. You will seek God diligently. You will do that stuff. How do I know that? Because the Bible tells me that. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Is that all you know? Is that all the Bible tells you? Why don't you really look at what it's telling you? It's telling you, if you're not doing what it's telling you, if you're not doing what this Bible's telling you, you miss the mark. You just miss it. True conversion is going to bring change in your life. True conversion is going to get religion out, and a relationship is going to form. That's just how it goes. You have a holy and righteous God living inside of you, and you mean to tell me that you're just going to stay the same old person you always have been? I don't understand that. So Jesus is that weak? Is it? I have a problem with that. I have a problem with thinking that Jesus is weak because of what he's done in my life that I could never do ever. And he stepped in there and did what he's doing now. I'm just telling you now. That's why I don't understand why men are getting in the way of the work of the Holy Ghost and they are so blinded by religion. Much as I'd like to say, I'm just sorry to tell you that just walking into a church sitting here is not going to save you unless the Holy Ghost moves in you and saves your soul today. It can happen. It can happen very well. But I'm just telling you now, everybody can walk out of here with what they think is a clean conscience because they came to church. You know what God says about the that's filthy rags. That's what he thinks about your righteousness. Filthy, disgusting rags. You know what he thinks about me standing up here? My righteousness is the same thing. If I'm not right with God, I'm no better than anybody else. If I have sin in my life, I'm no better than anybody else. Listen, let me tell you something. Christians can live in the flesh. But here's the difference. We don't stay in it. There's a difference. We want to get out of it. We want to move from it. I know I get a desire in my heart that when I do something wrong, my first instinct is, I better make that right with God. I better get on my face immediately. I don't wait. But you have people who call themselves Christians, do stuff wrong, blatantly, out in public, anything else, do stuff wrong, and it doesn't even faze them. Yeah. Then there are those who are saved, I'll be able to finish this, who refuse to learn of Jesus and his ways. He has to bring them to a place where they'll learn of him and turn from their ways. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. How's that? Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget. This is scary. Forget thy children. Go ahead and keep playing. Keep playing. He'll forget your children. How's that? Man, Lord, please help us, Lord. I'm just saying, help us. Help us, man. My goodness. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. Thou shalt not be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore, I will change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people. They set their heart on iniquity. And there shall be like people, like priests. And I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their doings. For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase because they have left to take heed to the Lord. Many of the so-called Christians are caught up in this trap. Jesus saves them and then they start to wander on their own. They don't read or study the word and forget what they were saved from. God has to bring them to a place that they will listen. Hosea 6:1 says, come, let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn. He hath torn. He hath torn. You have a God who is not afraid to not have compassion and charity when you will not listen to what he says. If you're taken as a joke today, I feel sorry for you. If you're not going to listen to the word of God, I feel sorry for you. You may be prospering or things may be going well right now, but you can count your chickens, man. I'm just telling you right now, it's not always going to be that way. Especially if you're his child. I made a point earlier today. I love my children. I correct my children. Why? Because I don't like them, because I hate them. I love my children. I want them to have the best. I want them to learn and be taught things. God does that to us. And if God isn't loving you like that, then you missed the mark.
Right.
You didn't get it. He chastens the one he loves. That's what the Bible says.
Yeah.
If you're not getting that, you missed it. He hath torn. Listen to this now. This is the second time I said this today. He will heal us. He will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind up. The Lord does not just save a sinner just to have one of his wander and do what they will. You know, I was a sinner at one time, and Jesus just—he didn't come down and get on that cross and say, "Okay, yeah, you got saved. Go ahead and live your life any way you want. Go ahead, you're good." Paul says, "Don't use that for a cloak. Don't use your salvation and your freedom. Don't use that as a cloak to go out there and do whatever you want." Hey, I'm saved, right? I can't go to hell. I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. So does that mean go out there and live a life like hell? Does it mean go out there? Hey, he says this. You know why he calls us to be holy? He says, be holy for I'm holy. And you know why he says that? Because he lives inside. He knows it can happen. He's going to make you that way. Be holy for I'm holy. Be holy for I'm holy. Go ahead and read all the other books. They take it out of it. That's why they live the way they do. There's no call to holiness anymore. Come out from among them. Be ye separate. Come out from among them, he says. Not live with them. Not do what they do. Come out from among them. There's a call to holiness and separation. Why? So that we can stick out and people see that we're different. There's something about us. But you can't tell a Christian these days. You can't tell who's a Christian. Oh, you can. I'm sorry. Bumper stickers and magnets and all that. That's how you tell Christians these days. I wear, you know, people got hats. So I love Jesus and shirts. Oh, Jesus is the best. And they're out there just living with the world, standing in a bar drinking. What are you feeding these people? He says, now no chastising for the present seemeth joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto whom which are exercised thereby. That whom the Lord loves, he will correct. Proverbs 3:11 says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. If there is no correction, then you don't belong to him, because he will not allow one of his to live in such a way. Hebrews 12:8 says, but if you be without chastisement, whereof are all partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Do you understand what that's saying? If you don't have the chastisement of God, you do not belong to him. Now, that's not Dale Moore saying that. It's a King James Bible. It's the Word of God. That's God's Word. That's his instructions to us. If you don't have the chastisement of the Lord, then you miss the mark. You just don't belong to him. You got to get that right. We're not promised another day. We're not promised another second. We always play Russian roulette with our lives. For 40 years, I've played Russian roulette with my life. Thank God it was merciful and long-suffering and gave me the time to get that right with him. I thank God. But I'm just telling you now. He said, if there's no chastisement for the Lord, you are bastards and not sons. The Lord has a work to do in us. And sometimes he has to bring us to a place where he can deal with us, so that we will listen. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident is the very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Where do you stand? Are you being brought to a place so that you will turn to God, so that he can accomplish what he wants? That's what it's all about. God wants to bring, he's going to bring you to, listen, if you're not just surrendering your life to him, he's going to bring you to a place where you will. And it's not always, it's not pretty. You can avoid that, though, by listening to what God has to say. I don't know what God has to say to me. Right here.
Yeah.
It's all you need. It's all you need. You know what my wife told me today? I'm not bragging, and I'm going to finish with this. She said, I'm just so happy that I have a husband like you. Because you direct our family spiritually. You motivate me. You love me and my children. That's what she said to me today.
Amen.
Let me ask you this.
Sir.
How do you think I learned that?
Amen.
Huh? Right here. Right here, buddy. Now, I'm just telling you now, it's not a fable, it's not a fairy tale, this thing is real. And I just plead with you, please, 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 listen to it. Listen to what it has to say. It will be life-changing. Pastor, I'm done.